I'm Jim Benson, and you're listening to TV Time Machine on Intelligent Talk, 1170 KCBQ. Like us on Facebook, follow us on Twitter, and visit our show archives at tvtimemachine.com.
Mr. Murchison, Trey Barrett.
This is my partner, Avinash Dagavi. We actually met at Social Fresh last year.
Yes, Barrett, got your emails, all 20 of them.
Yeah, if we could just get 5 minutes of your time, we're working on something, I think
you're
gonna...
Got a party to host, kid. You wanna talk shop, call my office Monday morning, set something up.
I wonder how 50 Cent would assess that effort.
Today on the TV Time Machine, we geek out with betas. In this edition of our program, we are proud to welcome Ed Begley Jr. from the new online series about Silicon Valley nerds, Betas. Ed Begley Jr. is a legendary character actor who has appeared in hundreds of TV shows and is best known for his role as Dr. Victor Ehrlich in the classic TV series, Saint Elsewhere. Over the next segment, Ed Begley Jr. will help us explore virtually every aspect of this hilarious online series, now available exclusively to Amazon.com Prime members. Again, for those of you intrepid enough to build a killer app, feel free to apply yourselves as we log out of the past to experience a glitch-free present. Ed, thank you for coming on board the TV Time Machine.
Thanks, Jim. A pleasure to be on with you.
Now, you play George Murchison in the new comedy series Betas, which will be available exclusively to Amazon.com Prime members starting November 22nd. Ed, what is the premise of Betas, and tell us a little bit about your character.
The show is about these young people who write code. It's really their show and their wonderful story. They've written a social networking app to get people to engage with each other. And the irony of it is that they quickly discover it's just getting more people looking at computer screens. What they really want to do is get people engaging personally with each other, so they modify the program over the course of many episodes. My character is a Silicon Valley investor who sees a lot of potential in their software and in them, and he decides to put some seed money into it and then get a larger pool of investors to embrace them. And so... It's a very interesting world, that Silicon Valley world, and the people who write code and the people in the computer realm. I've had the pleasure of knowing Paul Allen for years from Microsoft, and I met Bill Gates through Paul, and I know Steve Wozniak a little bit. So these people are very important figures, I think, at this point in history. And, I've never met anyone quite like George Murchison, but sadly in the 60s and 70s, I was a bit like him in that I was kind of a party animal in the 60s and 70s. Fortunately, I wised up in 1978, and George Murchison did not. He's out there 80s, 90s, and to this day, still partying hard. So I don't know how those people do it, but George is a very colorful character.
Yeah, he's very interesting. And, of course, you said he's a very successful guy, but he's had a lot of setbacks lately. What do you think his state of mind is right now?
I think he's a little deranged. I think he has some chemical imbalances in his life that make him somewhat erratic. You know, he gets a little upset sometimes if things don't go his way, and he acts out on that in ways that are surely inappropriate. But it's very funny, and there are real people like that. I've seen them, and regularly and recently. So I think it's great. I think the cast is wonderful. These young kids are just great. They're very nice to the old man, too. They're very kind to Grandpa. They help him with his lines when he gets a little disoriented. They're great. I'm really in love with this young cast.
Now, what events led to you joining Betas, and what especially attracted you to this series?
Two words, Michael Lehman. He's a great director and writer, and he and I had worked together on Meet the Applegates back in the 80s. And so he said, hey, there's a show that I think... you'd be right for this part of George Murchison, this guy who's an investor. And I went, great, let me look at the script. Of course, anything you're doing, I'll do. I don't need to read the script to say yes. I'll say yes, but let me look at the script by way of just interest. And I read the script, and I was just bowled over by how good it was. These guys, Josh and Evan, wrote this script, and it was really wonderful and edgy and dark and engaging. And I went, sign me up. What do I got to do to be involved in this project? So we did a pilot. It was very, very well received on Amazon Prime, and then it got good user ratings, and more importantly, people watched it to the end. So now it's available exclusively on Amazon Prime Instant Video starting November 22nd, and a great show. Give it a shot. It's called Betas.
Right. I mean, it's really amazing how things have changed over time. Of course, you've had an incredible television career. What is it like for you to be involved in a series now that the medium and the method of distribution has changed so much?
I think it's important to change with the times, and this is the way things are headed. I'm not suggesting broadcast TV or cable TV is going away anytime soon, but a lot of people are now starting to watch shows, you know, like House of Cards, Orange is the New Black, and Arrested Development. They're watching them on these kinds of platforms. So I think Amazon Prime is a great place to be. They've given us the freedom to do the show we want to, and it looks like a feature film. It doesn't even look like a TV show.
That's right.
It's a very well-done show, technically and creatively. So they're a great place to be, and I think they're going to do very well with Amazon Prime, with our show, the John Goodman show, Alpha House. I think they've got a recipe for success there at Amazon.
Now, how do your kids watch TV, or do they watch TV?
Great question. My daughter, who's 14 years old, I have a young daughter who's 14. She watches some, you know, cable TV, if you will, you know, AT&T U-verse kind of TV. But she watches more than half of her TV the way my grown kids do, age 35 and 36. My grown kids do not have any dish or cable hookup. They just watch over the Internet.
Wow.
That's all they watch. And my 14-year-old, like I said, watches at least half of her stuff that way, too. That's the way things are headed. And so I'm proud to be part of that, you know, cutting-edge technology and that cutting-edge in the realm of media. And I think there'll be more and more of that every year as the years transpire.
So what is your relationship with technology? How do you view it?
You know, I have a foot in both worlds. I live a simple life in some ways. I like to garden and hike, and I put the computer down at some point and go out and get my hands in the dirt and grow my vegetables and what have you that sustain me. But also, I use technology. You know, I use it to book my appointments and to do my finances and manage my fan mail base and, you know, Twitter and what have you. All important things if you're going to be out there in the media, out working successfully in, you know, the environmental realm too, with green product endorsements and speaking engagements. And then, as I said, an acting career, you need to be computer savvy to do that. But again, there's a limit to it. I don't just go and look up the wonderful website about Yosemite, and there is a good website about Yosemite or Yellowstone. I put the computer down and I actually get up there to Yosemite.
It's amazing.
Walk the trail. The real Yosemite is actually better than the website, as it turns out.
What a revelation.
Yeah. So I make sure. The Santa Monica Mountains, we have a wonderful website about that in L.A., but I rarely look at it. I'm mostly up there in the Santa Monica Mountains hiking, seeing the beautiful wildlife up there and riding my bike or walking up in that beautiful area. So that's what I urge people to do, to use technology responsibly. It can be very efficient and helpful, but at some point, close that computer lid, put that PDA down, and get out there in the world and involve yourself.
Now, Ed, of course, you're a leading environmentalist. What does it mean to you to be off the grid?
I've never been fully off the grid, which would mean, I think, not just electricity, but natural gas and water and sewage and all that. Mm-hmm. I have a sewer hookup at my house. I have some natural gas that I use to heat the home. And I have some small amount of electricity that I use, because I'm not just running my house, but I'm running, if you will, a little TV studio where I do a reality show at my home. And I'm also charging a vehicle to the tune of 10,000 miles a year. So, you know, I've been nearly off the grid electrically for a while, but I still use some other resources. So being fully off the grid is a goal that we can aspire to. But whatever way we reduce our dependence on the grid, the electrical grid, the natural gas grid, the water grid, and with my new home, I'm building a LEED Platinum home now that will use, I think, zero electricity over the course of a year.
Wow.
We'll use the grid as a battery system, if you will, to spin the meter backwards during the day and forwards at night and get a bill for the net, which I predict will be zero. The net will be zero. That is my prediction. Let's see how I do. Natural gas, I use a very small amount of it because I'll be mostly solar hot water heating and passive solar design for the home. I'll use a much lower amount of water than I use in my current home because I'll have a 10,000-gallon rainwater tank, Jim. 10,000-gallon
wow.
Tank is already buried underground at the new home that I'm constructing, a LEED Platinum home. So with new technology, you can do a great deal. So I aspire to be off the grid electrically. I won't be off the grid in other ways. I'll still have a sewer hookup, but I'll be using gray water, too, a gray water system. So a lot of that water that would be going into the sewer and making it work harder won't be going there because it'll be going out from the shower, from the laundry, from the bathroom sink. That'll all be going to a gray water system that will irrigate trees. So we can have a low impact on the grid, but there are people out there in the world who are fully off the grid. My hat's off to them.
Right.
I was never able to achieve it, Jim.
Ed, where can people find out more about yourself online?
Go to edbegley.com, and I'll direct you to lots of other wonderful resources to save energy and protect the environment. I have a show called On Begley Street that shows what we're doing, building a new LEED Platinum home. You can go there, and there's great other websites. You know, other people have wonderful information, like the NRDC, NRDC.org, Natural Resources Defense Council. The great people out there with lots of good information. So check some of those out, and you'll get a lot of help.
Ed Begley Jr., whose new series Betas will be available exclusively to Amazon.com Prime members starting November 22nd. Ed, it's been a tremendous pleasure having you aboard the TV Time Machine. Feel free to join us again in the future or in the past.
Thank you, Jim.
I was born Mary Tyler Moore.
It's Jesse Donald Knotts.
Fred McFeely Rogers.
Leslie Moonves.
Isabel Sanford.
Leslie Renee Stahl.
Robert Edward Turner.
Regis Francis Philbin.
Aaron Spelling.
Since 1999, the Archive of American Television has been preserving the memories, knowledge, and insights of the men and women whose talents and vision have helped shape this remarkable medium. Over 500 video interviews with these TV legends are now available on the Archive of American Television website at metvlegends.org. There you can sign up to receive news, updates, and also become a sponsor to help preserve television history for generations to come. That's metvlegends.org.
The mythological proportions of Star Trek provide something that's missing in people's consciousness, psyche.
The Archive of American Television. Capturing television history, one voice at a time.